Bless him. Yes, sir. Bless him, Lord. Bless him, Lord, with the word. Let the word come from right in here, Lord, and let it come out there, and let it be a blessing to those that are here to edify the body and glorify Christ tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Yeah, check, check. Money order. Check, check. Can y'all hear it? Okay, there you go. God's good. We've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and we're going to keep on talking about the fruit of the Spirit. I feel led just to go ahead and just jump on it. So we're just jumping on the fruit, amen? We're not going to go in any particular order. I've been asking God to show me what order to go in, and I believe tonight's a special night. How many here believe that God always has a way to make a way where there is no way? How many know that God's always able to do what you need, even if you don't know what to do anyway? Amen? Get your Bibles out. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. God is awesome. That thing just fell all to pieces. There you go. Get a little foot room here. Praise God. God is awesome. That's right. Galatians chapter 5. If you got Mighty Army today, I can't give you the exact quote, but how delicate snowflakes are, one of the most delicate things in nature. But it's amazing what that little bitty snowflake can do, those snowflakes can do when they stick together. Amen? It's amazing. I sent that to the Mills, and they wrote back, ha, ha, ha. I also wrote to them and said, the guy in my church said, that little bit of ice wouldn't take care of, wouldn't stop setting bull. And they wrote back and said, well, he was still setting one. Where was his name is setting? Oh, God's so good. I love God anyway, but especially our God has a sense of humor. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, here's what we're talking about. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. Father, I love you, Lord. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. And Lord, you've got what we need every time we need it. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint us, Lord. You're an on-time God. You're a powerful God. I've never heard you call retreat. I've never seen you back down from a fight. I've never seen any of this, Lord. Every time you're right there, you know what to do. And I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Now we've been talking about the attributes that in the Christian life that helps the world to see Jesus in us. And without these in our life, then without these abilities in our life, then the people are going to look and they're going to look at us and they're going to say, well, they're no different than us. Remember, the devil can imitate the gifts, but the devil can't imitate the fruit. Remember that. He may do it for a while, but if you start watching him, you'll see that he's not imitating that fruit too good. It's gonna shine. It's gonna come out. He's gonna shine every time. His evil nature. Now, and I want you to take your Bible. Take your Bible, and I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to talk about the seventh manifestation of the Spirit. We'll probably be on this for several weeks. Coming up shortly, this weekend, everything should be on go if we don't have another snowstorm or blizzard and or heat wave. We're in North Carolina. You can have those in the same week, of course. So this weekend coming up should be regular, but the following weekend is the Emmaus weekend. And so I want y'all to be praying because Stephen, Benny, Brandon, DC, and Linda's son Nick, they're all going to Emmaus, and I'm going to be there with them. And so I'll be one of the spiritual directors, and on Sunday morning, Burton is going to be here again. Burton said, if you ever have a chance, I get a chance to be on Sunday morning, you let me know. I said, all right, here comes Emmaus. And so he's going to be here on Sunday morning of Emmaus. Also remember, May 31st is the meals are going to be here in the morning service. Amen? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We're going to talk about faithfulness. Now, let's just read it in the New Living Translation. Now, a person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful. Think about this thing. How would you like to have somebody take care of your business and they wouldn't show up half the time? How would you like it if they're going to, on D-Day, when they went to charge, you know, on D-Day what they did was they charged Omaha Beach to The Rangers charged Omaha Beach, and the paratroopers, they went behind the lines, and they dropped them, and they were sort of fighting and meet each other in the middle. And I've heard some amazing stories from these guys. I used to live next door to one of the paratroopers, and he told me that back in that day, he said if the newscast had been there, if Fox News and CNN and all those guys had been on the beach with them, there would have been a lot of stuff shut down because there was more guys killed in that one area than it was ever been killed through any of this, through Desert Storm and through all this stuff. Those guys, when they charged that beach, it was something. You know, and there was a lot of lives lost. But these guys showed courage and fortitude and faithfulness. The Simplify for the Marines. How many remember what Simplify stands for? Always faithful. All right? The Bible says that the steward is to be faithful. How would it be if we were getting ready, they were getting to have a mission, and they had a whole SEAL team, and a whole SEAL team were made up of guys for demolition, guys that knew medical, guys that were for different specific things, and when they got ready to charge, five of them said, well, I don't think I'll show up this time. What would it do for the rest of them? So you see, faithfulness. God is looking for faithfulness. If he's going to put you in charge of something, if he's going to let it be in your hands, you're going to be the one that's taking care of it. He says, if I'm putting something in your hands to take care of, I want you to be faithful when you do this. I don't want you to haphazardly do it. I want you to be faithful when you do it. Take it serious. Like a mother with her children, like a father with his kids, at your job, whatever. When God puts something in front of you, be faithful when you take care of it. It's an amazing thing, and it causes a lot of pain. A lot of pain, but it also causes a lot of good times. So watch this. That there's one ability that turns the ordinary into miraculous and transforms common individuals into magnificent achievers. That's faithfulness. It's amazing. Without this ability, you'll never reach your full potential. I remember DC and Daniel coming up. I remember my own self coming up. There were so many opportunities given to me, but I couldn't find myself faithful enough to take advantage of the opportunity. They were handed right to me. I sat back and I had a guy from the Philharmonic Orchestra. He come down here to retire. He worked on the fish docks with Dad. He just wanted to be an old hermit. He lived in an old house, had one light bulb. He made his own bread. He taught people how to play the cello, how to play the violin. He taught all this stuff. He was one of the most magnificent musical artist that I have ever heard. He just wanted to be, he just was tired of it. He wanted to be left alone. He worked with my dad. My dad told him I was learning, I was teaching myself how to play the guitar. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, let me help him. And so he taught me, the only thing I got from what he taught me, the only thing, he was trying to teach me how to look at music and be able to sight read music and call it off in my head. He was an all kind, the most magnificent man. One thing he did teach me is when I'm playing the bass and you see me moving my fingers back and forth, that's what he taught me. He taught me how to pick out the song. I do remember that. That's the only thing I can remember is how to pick out that song, and I taught it to my boys. Now, all this stuff was handed to me, and I didn't think I'd ever need it. Phil Harmonic Orchestra. I went to some of his, he got me to go with him to a few concerts where he was teaching other kids in Stonewall at the whatever church that is in Stonewall, the Methodist Church. I think it's the Methodist Church, but that one right in the split, there's a big old church there. And he was teaching them how to play the cello and teaching them. You wouldn't believe how this all sounded with him playing with it. I had all this at my fingertips. And I said, I'd rather just go hang out with the guys. And so I had about 10 lessons. And then I said, forget it. But years later, what little bit I did learn, it did stick. And I thank God for that. A person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful. Now, let me tell you this. Faithfulness is doing your duty until your duty is done. Wow. Faithfulness is doing your duty to duty till your duty's done. I remember one time when Wyatt was the manager of our engineering crew, he took us to Kentucky Fried Chicken. The whole crew. And there was me and I'm just saying this because I got to fit when you hear it at the end, you wonder what I'm saying when I say this. There was a black engineer and me, we just kept eating. All the other engineers had stopped eating, me and this black engineer kept eating. And finally Wyatt said, we got to get back to the plant. Do you mind? He says, y'all don't eat till y'all get full. Y'all eat till y'all get tired, don't you? And I said, well, you got some nerve taking a black man and a preacher to a chicken restaurant and telling us to hurry up. He said, well, you got a point there, David. Go and get you another plate. Faithfulness is doing your duty till your duty is done. I'm amazed. I think back, you know, if you watch this movie, Saving Private Ryan, they had runners. And these runners would carry messages back and forth. We didn't have cell phones. They didn't have the satellites. They didn't have all this technology. And so these guys would take the message and they would run with this message. You know where the marathon came from? And when the 300 Spartans were fighting and they were trying to, and the battle was going on, two runners went to tell what's going on. They had to run 26 miles. When they got through at the 26.2 miles, you know what they did? They collapsed and died. That's where the marathon came from. In Saving Private Ryan, we watch, and this is the truth. This was historically true. Although some of the characters weren't, but the stuff that was happening was historically true. And when the runner tried to run to tell somebody else what the message was, the Germans started shooting them. And when they fell, they kept on shooting them. They shot them until they were riddled with bullets. And they said, why are they keeping shooting him? He's down. He's out. And they said, they know that a runner, as long as he's got breath, he's got the message. And he won't quit running until he gets the message where it's going to go. So they'll take him and take him down with everything he's got and keep on until they're sure that he's down. Now, a lot of us have a message in us. And we're trying to take care of that message. And Satan is trying to get us down. He don't just want to get us down. He wants to keep us down. And so he will riddle us with the spiritual machine gun bullets until he sees all the life out. But let me tell you something. Not everybody is born with equal ability. Amen? We don't have the same ability. But watch this. We're not all born with the same ability, but we're all born with the same responsibility. Wow. We don't have the same ability, but we have the same responsibility, and that is to be faithful. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, it says in Hebrews chapter 10, it says in verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Habakkuk 2 and 4 says, it's the Old Testament version. Behold, my soul had lifted up, not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. And that word faith means by their faithfulness to God. What is the biblical definition of faithfulness? Hebrew, it means steadfastness. It means stability. It means rock. Greek, it means reliability or dependability. Faithfulness is the Christ-like quality of dependability. Stability in our relationship with God and in our relationship and reliability in our relationship with others. So watch this. Tonight, I'm going to talk about the greatest example of dependability. The greatest example of faithfulness. It's not a man. It's God. God is so faithful. Man, I'm so glad he's so faithful. Because I have fallen so many times. I've fallen short. I quit before I should. I did not keep doing my duty till my duty is done. I could have done better, but I didn't. I'm like that guy that retired. I talked about last week, the guy that retired, and the guy gave him the stuff to build a house, and he built it substandardly so he could get out of there. Didn't know that it was going to be given to him. It was his gift for the rest of his life. He lived in a substandard house. If he'd have been faithful, that house would have been awesome. So now, here's God. I hope this is going to build your faith because it builds mine every time I read this. This right here is some of the most awesome stuff I have ever read. 1 Peter 4:19, God is called the faithful creator. In other words, we can see God's faithfulness in order and constancy of nature. We can trust the work of his hand. How many's ever heard of Old Faithful? Old Faithful Gusher in Yellowstone National Park. I want to say Jellystone National Park. It's not Jellystone, it's Yellowstone National Park. Now, it's changed a little bit over the years, but let's just say the average. Yellowstone, the average is every 65 minutes, there's a gusher, a gush from a geyser. Old Faithful. It will shoot up to 170 foot in the air every 65 minutes. Sometimes it takes longer, sometimes it takes less. Depends on how long that the gush lasts. If the gusher lasts longer, then a shorter or shorter between, but on average it's 65 to 66 minutes. Every 65 to 66 minutes, a hot water will shoot up in the air. Do you know that Sherman's men, when they came by in the Civil War, took their clothes and they put it in the geyser while it was down? And every 65 minutes, they got a clothes washing. It blew their clothes in the air. When it blew them in the air, the clothes would be clean. They'd be spotless. If they put wool in there, it'd beat it all to pieces. But if they put cotton in there, it would clean it. So, Old Faithful. People are so wanting to see faithfulness. Old Faithful is so popular. Watch this. There's built restaurants and lodges are built all around Old Faithful. Just so people can come from miles around from other countries just to see. Every 66 minutes, this geyser shooting up. It's so awesome. But you know what? There's many things that are faithful in this life. The sun. Think about things that are faithful. The sun. The tide. Taxes. They're coming at you. Amen. I like to say the government. The government's not too faithful unless they're taken from you. Then they got seen to be very faithful in that. You can depend on God. There's nobody more faithful than God. No matter what you're going through tonight, the Bible says in Lamentations 3:22, through the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Y'all say it with me. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. So get ready. Here we go. First off, you can trust in his works. 1 Peter 4:19. You can trust in what he does in order and a constancy of nature. Number two, Psalm 119:138 says, thy testimonies are very faithful. God always keeps his word. God always keeps his promises. You can trust the words of his mouth. If God tells you something, you can believe it. It may not happen the way you expect it. It may not happen when you expect it, but it's going to happen. Guaranteed, if God said it, it's going to happen. I trust him. God said it. I trust him. God's got this. Amen? God is faithful to his word. Number three. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his son. God is faithful in calling us to salvation. He's faithful in his way. You know what? Linda tells people this, this isn't a joke. You know, people will pick on her and say, how in the world you put up with him? And Linda says, you know what? After I've met more and more of his friends that I meet, that when he was back in the day, friends, he said, the more and more friends I meet and the more and more family that I meet to tell me about his back in the day exploits, she said, if I'd have met him back then, I wouldn't have even turned my eye. She said, I'd have left him hanging. She said, you were a cruel, a cruel dude, a wild dude. She says, I'm so glad God got a hold of you because I wouldn't be. Wouldn't even think about even talking to you. You know what? I sit back and think, you know, God looked at that. And God said, I can do something. Wow. I praise God that he didn't quit. He kept on nudging and kept on nudging and kept on nudging. God is faithful. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10:13. This is my favorite. I'm telling you. I love it. God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tested of that which you are able, but will, with the testing, also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Here's the misread here. He'll make a way of escape thinking, I'm going to get out of this trial. That's not what it said. It said he'll make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it, meaning you may be able to get up under the load. How do you get up under the load? Here's his way of escape. Fix your eyes on the cross. Whenever you get seasick, they tell you not to watch the ship. When you get seasick, you find a steady piece on the land, and you focus your eyes on that steady piece on the land. Whenever the vertigo starts taking off, if you just start turning with the vertigo, you're going to be on the ground. Amen. Anybody ever seen that, done that, been there? Spun around like a top and hit the ground. I remember one day we were going to Raleigh, Linda and I were going to a conference and we stopped and just does something going across. Once I go through Wilson, something about Wilson just stops me up and messes up my sinuses. I went through Wilson. As I go through Wilson, we get to Raleigh. I get out of Raleigh. We get in the hotel room. I'm sitting on the edge of the bed, unloading my stuff. And Linda said something and I turned my head real fast to see what she said. And it just about took and went, and I started spinning. And it spun me so bad, I fell on the floor, and I felt like Curly on the Three Stooges. And I was hollering, stop me, stop me, stop me. Linda looked down and thought I was playing. So she just busted out laughing. She said, this guy's running around the floor hollering, stop me, stop me, stop me. She didn't realize I was having a vertigo attack. And so I said, if I'm going to get out of this thing, I'm going to have to do this. And so I hit the ground, and I hit the ground, and I focused on something steady. And when I focused on something steady, I went, whew, and I got up, and she said, what was that? So, again, when I feel that vertigo coming, Linda will go. Linda says, look at something steady. Focus on something steady. Focus on something steady. Now, when you find yourself being whipped around in a spiritual vertigo because of stuff that's happening to you, the trials you're under, and you can't bear up under because you're being whipped around. Focus on something that's steady. And I can guarantee you the cross is always steady. I look at that cross, I find myself in all kinds of conditions. I find myself in all kinds of ways with other families. I'm in with other families when their loved ones are dying. Or I find myself, you know, I sat back and because I was there right after Mama died, but I was right there when Beverly died. And I remember the boys, and I remember how they sounded. And I just know how tough it was as we said goodbye to Beverly. And since then, I can't even count. As a chaplain and as a pastor and just as a family member, how many people I've been with and the doctor come in and say, you need to talk to them. Talk to them and tell them it's okay to let go. And so I go in and I talk with them. And every time I go in there, I'm pushed right back to Beverly and those boys crying, don't leave me, Mama, don't leave me. And so every time I get in that kind of situation, here's what I do. And I find myself getting emotional. Focus on the cross. Always. I focus on the cross. And I said, Lord, you got this. You knew I was going to be here. You got this. And I focus on the cross. Now, he said, he is faithful. He will allow you to be tested of that which you are able. Meaning, he knows you better than you know you. And because he knows you better than you know you, he knows just how far to take it before you can't take it anymore. And I thank him for that. The next one, number 5. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, the Lord is faithful who will establish you and keep you from evil. In other words, God is faithful to help you flourish if you let him. God wants us to flourish in him. When people see us, we need to be, people see us and say, that's the kind of person I want to be like. That's the kind, you know, when I think about back in the day when I was really wild and I was working at Procter & Gamble and I would come in, guys would come in after me. There were some Christians that came in on the shift after me and they would come in sometimes an hour early, at least 30 minutes early, sometimes an hour early. And I'd be working and I'd watch them and I saw them. And they, the other guys didn't, but these guys, always my attention was drawn to them. I never said anything to them. They didn't even say anything to me. I didn't know them for the longest time. I just knew there was something different. And I'd finally say, why are these guys so different? What is it that's drawing me to these people? And they would tell me, those guys are Christians. Some of them would say, those guys are crazy. There's some of them crazy Christians. And somebody had somebody tell me, you better stay away from him because he's going to try to convert you. But I know that the other guys didn't do this. The Christians always drew me to them because I saw a life. They never even had to open their mouth. I didn't even know their names except for what the guys told me. I was even scared of them because I weren't a Christian, and I was scared they were going to do what they said, try to convert me. But I kept saying, Lord, I'm not telling everybody else, but inside I really want what they've got. And it's so awesome. But over the years, I got a chance to be one of those guys. And I thank God for that. And if you think about it, you might not even realize that you're some of those people. That people are watching, and you're drawing them to God, and you don't even know it. They're watching. All right, so now, number 6. I only got 9. More. No, I've only got 9. Yeah. 2 Timothy 2:13. Here's one of my favorites. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. I know I'm the only one in here that's ever failed God. I'm the only one in here that's ever blown it. What's so cool is, though, even after I've blown it, he remains faithful. You know, I can think of the times over the years, and I go back and wish I could change them, but I can't. I can go back over the years and think about the time that I thought I knew more than my mama did and thought I knew more than my dad did. And I was just a little bitty thing, and I thought they were crazy. And there was times I was even mad at them, and they didn't even know. Or they probably did, but they act like they did. And I wouldn't do my stuff right, and I would think I was above cleaning up my room or doing my bed or whatever. And then there was times where I just didn't do what I was supposed to do. But every night at 5 o'clock, supper was on the table. Every morning when I got up, my clothes were washed and ready. When I got up in the morning, there was breakfast. When school was out, there was lunch. They were faithful. When I needed new clothes, they were faithful. When I needed a roof over my head, they were faithful. I never even had to ask them. They did it because I was their child. No matter how bad I messed up, they still, I was their child. Can you imagine DC and Daniel up in a tree, and one of them starts falling out, and he's hanging by his arm, and he says, "Help me, Daddy, help me." And I go, "Did you finish your homework?" "No, I didn't do that." "Help me, Daddy, I'm only holding on by a hand." "Well, did you finish the collards on your plate?" "No." "Help me, Daddy, I'm getting ready to fall." "Well, did you do everything, do all your chores yet?" "No, that's my son. He's falling. I'm going to be right there. Son, trust me. Let go. I got you." Wow. That's right. That's our God. He's not going, "Well, did you do everything? Did you dot every I and cross every T? Did you get everything just right?" No. Even when you're not faithful, the Bible says he remains faithful. That's awesome. Man, that's awesome. That right there just gives me hope, because sometimes I can be so and go, "I cannot believe it again, God." And he goes, "I got this. Trust me." So now, number 7, verse John 1 and 9 shows God's faithfulness and forgiveness. It says he's faithful and just to forgive us. All we got to do is ask. Even when we really make a mess of things, he will still forgive us. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. All we got to do is ask. Wow. Isn't that awesome? It seems like every day I'm going, "Okay, Lord, I ask you to help me lose weight, and I'm eating like it's the last meal on earth. God, forgive me. I said I'm not going to do this or do that again, and here I am, Lord." And God, he's so faithful, because he says, "Okay, you brought it to me. You showed me that you brought it to your own attention first. Now you bring it to mind. It's done. It's over. It's gone. It's taken care of." And one scripture summarizes it all. After this scripture, we're going to pray. After two more scriptures, actually. We just read it. Lamentations 3:22 and 23. "Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed." You know the difference in mercy and grace? I tell you all the time, grace is getting something you don't deserve. Mercy is withholding what you do deserve. My question, how many times have you deserved it and God held back? How many times did you not deserve it and God gave freely? He's faithful. He is so faithful to his children. Wow. It says, "Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." The greatest act of faithfulness in the Bible, here it is, the cross. Hebrews 3:1-2. "Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ, was faithful to him who appointed him." Jesus was faithful in doing what his Father sent him whenever I find myself tempted to just say, okay, Lord, you can have it, I think about the cross. And every time I think about the cross, wow. I say, wait a minute. You took that cross for me. I think I can bear this burden with your help. See, it's sort of like this. Can you imagine? You need, I keep saying we're going to try to do it on Easter, and maybe we'll do it this year. I saw this thing one time, and I wish I could find it, where they had a man on death row. The two guards are taking the man on death row. He's handcuffed. They're getting ready to take him to be put to sleep with injections. And when they take him and put him in the elevator, you see the man in the white that's going to be executed. You see the two guards. When the elevator, as they're going down, when the elevator opens up on the bottom floor, now the guy in the white is dressed in a prison suit, guard suit, and the guard now is wearing that white suit. And they take him and strap him down. The prisoner straps him down and they kill him. That's what Jesus did. Wow. He took my punishment. Not only take my punishment, but he says, I'm going to help you with the burdens in life. So I'm not going to just take your punishment, but I'm going to help you all the way through. No matter how bad it is, I'm going to help you. Wow. Great is thy faithfulness. It's unfathomable. Great is thy faithfulness. It's unimaginable. Great is thy faithfulness. It's undeserved. Great is thy faithfulness. God has got you back. God has got you back. Great is his faithfulness. Now, next week, we're going to talk about our faithfulness to him. But this is our faithfulness here. So let's go ahead and pray. You can either come up here or make an altar at your seat. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, that you're in total control. I thank you, God, that when I find myself hanging by that tree limb, with one hand hollering for help, you don't ask me, have I cleaned my room? Have I done my homework? Have I ate my peas? Have I been good enough for you to come rescue me? You come rescue me. And I thank you for that. God, I thank you, Lord, that your word says, even when I'm not faithful, you are. I thank you, Lord. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, to anoint us, to help us know, to help us understand that you are faithful, that you're going to take care of us because we're your children. You're going to be there. Even when nobody else is, you're going to be there. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your power, your anointing. I thank you, God. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. Help us come back Tuesday night. Help us come back Sunday morning. Help us to know that you're there. You're there for us. And I'm so thankful that I ain't got to earn it, because I'd fall short. In the name of Jesus.